Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to the Master Toast On Air, your go-to show for all things Toastmasters in the greater Wellington region. Join us as we spotlight our incredible members diving into their passions, interests and exciting personal projects. Welcome to Episode 5. My name is Carol Wald and I have the pleasure to welcome one of our amazing members, Edwin Pereira. Edwin currently works as a career coach in New Zealand and Australia online and has two majors in management from Otago University. Edwin has previously worked as a vocational consultant advocating for fair treatment for vulnerable people. He's concerned with what fair means and trying to connect the dots on bills that could have made quite a difference for workers and small business owners. Edwin has worked in New Zealand and Australia and wants to stress this is an apolitical talk, just a kōrero. Welcome, Edwin.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
In your opinion, what does the word fair mean?
Good question, Carol. What does the word fair mean? It may sound like a foreign concept sometimes, the word fair. It's quite a big part of the Australian vernacular. It's in the anthem for Australia, Advance Australia Fair. And fair is a concept which is a very legalese term which entitles and enables people to have certain rights and entitlements in many ways.
And can you talk a little bit about the Fair Pay Act?
Yeah, so today I want to talk about a few different acts. I'm not a legal expert in this area, but I do have some close working knowledge of it, having come from an ER and IR background in some ways. But I will talk in kōrero format as opposed to being an expert, but please take from it what you will. It's just some basic information. So the Fair Pay Act is, for New Zealand specifically, and it's key legislation. It comes from the Equal Pay Act of 1972. The reason why I mention the Fair Pay Act is because it's somewhat akin to the Fair Wage Agreements Act, Fair Pay Agreements Act of 2022, which I'd like to talk to you more about today.
And also on your bio, you talked about the Care and Support Worker Pay Equity Settlement Act.
Yeah, so this takes us back to the Fair Pay Act, which was quite an important initiative which came about in 2017, where the care and support workers were able to achieve pay equity settlement, and that was legislated in law. Passed in New Zealand in 2017 to address pay equity issues for care and support workers in aged and disability residential care, as well as the home and community support services. So this is recognising our carers and recognising that the people that do this mahi are entitled to fair and equitable pay, and in this case, quite a significant increase, between 15 to 50% increases for over 55,000 care and support workers.
Yes, I think I remember when that was going through. Gosh, yeah. Time flies.
Yeah.
Also, who is concerned with fair pay equity in the workforce?
Yeah, so mostly employees are concerned with fair pay. They're the ones directly affected by it, but it's a governmental issue and crosses over into the Equal Opportunities Commission and the Department of Labour, which still exists. And these local agencies enforce fair employment law and regulations in New Zealand. Employers are also concerned with fair pay because being fair is part of being a good employer. And being a good employer means that you promote fairness in the workplace, implement policies and practices that prevent discrimination, harassment, and other forms of unfair treatment. So to be a good employer means you're on parity. And there's a lot of pay scale studies. Hayes do one, Hudson do one. These are studies where people in the many thousands, sometimes the sample size are about 16,000 New Zealanders, and they sample pay and benefits and the equity of that pay. The Care and Support Worker Pay Equity Settlement Act was particularly important because it affected a female-dominant industry, and that was where the pay equity of the predominantly what's classified as female workers was recognised and brought into modern times. Human resources are concerned with creating and enforcing policies and procedures to promote fairness. Employees, as I mentioned, are concerned, and there can be instances where there's disputes over pay as well. And also, one thing that might be close to people's hearts is the dreaded negotiation around pay. How do you manage that? Well, quite often you can rely upon pay scale studies and also any accords or awards that have been achieved for your sector. This sort of takes me a little bit into the Fair Pay Agreements Act of 2022. Now, as I mentioned, I'm apolitical and I'm not wed to any particular party, but in many respects, we were following suit with the Australian law in many ways. Australians from as early back as 1991 had awards and had collective bargaining for what agreed rates of pay within certain sectors. And that was going to be coming through in New Zealand in a big wave of work that was going to keep the unions very busy. Unions play an important role in New Zealand. We have the Council of Trade Unions, represents over 350,000 people, workers in a range of industries, Public Service Association, 70,000 public sector workers, Unite Union, and ETU is one that most people would have heard of, which has 50,000 workers in different industries, manufacturing, aviation, and food processing. Fair Pay was going to be a big initiative to kind of work out what do these roles, what's the parity, what's the pay for these roles? And then we would develop awards, and those would become legislated that the employers have to pay certain awards for different types of work, which is, an extension on the Minimum Wage Act. Well,
I imagine that there used to be a time when most people belonged to a union, but today it's probably only a percentage of people, isn't it? So,
I think teachers have two unions they can choose from. So it does provide some infrastructure and some support. There's often other benefits like representation if need be. At New Zealand School Trustees Association, we dealt with unions, the PSA and also EIR, and those unions were able to represent their employees and let them know what rights they're entitled to if there was a conflict or a dispute or a redundancy. They could support them in that way.
Mm-hmm. And I guess New Zealand's just a small country, so how does the US view these types of contracts?
Yeah, so the US, I can't speak specifically of the new government that's been ushered in, but under previous governments, they have some very long-standing unions that have been established. The United Auto Workers Union, which represent workers in the automotive industry, and it's been advocating for a long period of time. Ford, Henry Ford actually was one of the first to deal with a union that came about, and one of the first unions that emerged in the US during the 1940s, I think it was, and said, I provide great benefits for my staff. Why should I be dealing with a union? But then, as it turned out to be a good employment and management divide, where there was employment on one side and unions and management on the other side, and able to negotiate that way.
Mm-hmm. So you've talked about the New Zealand context.
Yeah.
Anything else to add in that respect?
Just in New Zealand, we have the living wage movement in Aotearoa, which mm-hmm. advocates for a living wage. So that's really important. It's come about by certain faith groups and different community organisations have developed the living wage. And that living wage is based on studies that are done on that includes CPI, and there's some people that represent the living wage movement, and they're going and advocating to employers that, hey, look, to actually live in New Zealand and be have a reasonably comfortable living standard of living, the living wage across a 40-hour week is should be $27.80 per hour, which is an increase of $1.80 on the previous year's rate. But it doesn't sound like a lot, but it makes a difference, because the minimum wage in New Zealand is $23.15 per hour. So this may not affect everyone, but it's a good base level to work from, where certain organisations that support the living wage can have a standard that they work to. And this is similar to what the fair pay agreements would have brought in as some awards that we can rely upon.
Yes, and I do agree with the living wage and understand why they've set that up. I'm not sure from an employer's point of view.
Yeah.
It goes up every year. I believe it went up in September last year.
Yeah.
To the current rate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes, so employers are being squeezed a little bit. Times are tough, and there is a lot of redundancy in New Zealand at the moment. We're seeing the wave of AI, and we're seeing some increased competition in New Zealand. The labour market is reasonably what we call tense, or there are a lot of people out of work, and there could be further redundancies in the coming year that we are to see. And it's just sort of a movement that's part of globally what's happening in terms of centralisation of certain things, trade that's affected, geopolitical issues. And to be fair, employers may struggle to aspire to these standards. And that's not unreasonable. But I think as a good employer, if you are employing in New Zealand, then you have to uphold certain award standards, mm-hmm. is my belief.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another thing that is in New Zealand is the income insurance scheme.
Yeah. So that's probably the last point I'll talk to. This was an interesting one. Not a lot of people knew about this, and this one sits with employers, actually. Now, this is a small levy. I think it worked out to be about $1.55 per person per week in New Zealand. That was paid and is managed by ACC. And the bill received submissions up until the 26th of April 2022. And then the submissions closed. And we're not quite sure where it's at. There was some talk of the national government introducing some insurance fairness and talking about a bill around that, but it's kind of been parked, and it's one that maybe if people are more vocal about or is reignited, it could be a really good thing. So the income insurance scheme enabling development bill sits with ACC, and it passed in the New Zealand Parliament in 2022, but I don't believe it's had its sittings yet, and it sits with the Accident Compensation Corporation, ACC, whereby it's a larger government initiative to support workers and businesses during times of financial hardship. The scheme was proposed to provide eligible workers with 80% of their usual salary for up to 7 months if they lost their jobs through no fault of their own.
Mm-hmm.
So there's things like natural disasters, particular incidents or events or flooding, where 7 months of continuity could be really good for business owners and also for their staff. And that's paid from a levy that we all contribute to, and it makes a big difference at the end of the day. Now, I'm not advocating for this necessarily, but I felt when workers are faced with the cost of income insurance, it can be as high as $200, $300, $400 per month for income protection, and particularly hard to get for small business and self-employed. Really hard to get.
Yeah, and people on low incomes too. Well, I can see where that's beneficial, because in the past ACC has covered accidents.
Yeah.
But New Zealand's had a whole lot of situations in the last few years where people have been forced to go out of work for no fault of their own.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I could see the benefit of that.
That opens up a lot of arguments around should the state be supporting individuals and citizens, and to what degree we support one another. But I think if we're collective and we work together and we sort of take a longer term view, we need to make sure everyone's okay in a society that's in a higher level in the OECD. And I guess we pay a small levy or pay a little bit of tax to kind of achieve that. But I think if it's so lean that it's all market-driven, then often only those that can afford the market-driven initiatives can participate in those.
Yes.
So some people get left out, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything else you'd like to add today?
No, it's been lovely being here and talking about something that's a bit of a hobby horse for me. I stress it's apolitical discussion, just korero, to talk about some things that were kind of on the horizon that have been shelved. And hey, look, if we get enough people thinking about these things in different ways, we might see soon rekindled. Yeah.
Well, thank you for bringing that to our attention. And I'd just like to, just a final question, where can people go to find out more information?
Yeah, so information on the income insurance scheme enabling development bill is on the ACC website. If you just Google it and come up on the ACC website. I actually saw some more information from MBIE, Ministry of Business Innovation and Employment. And yeah, Living Wage, there's a website for the Living Wage movement in New Zealand. And if you're not signed up to Living Wage or you believe your employer should be, then there are representatives that can go and talk to your employer about the Living Wage.
Great. Oh, thank you for speaking to us today, Edwin.
Yeah.
And we'll finish off there.
Thank you. Thanks, Carol.
So this was episode 5 of Master Toast On Air, presented by community group Toastmasters Wairarapa in New Zealand. Whether you're looking to improve your public speaking, develop leadership skills, or simply meet new people, Toastmasters offers a welcoming environment for everyone. Now that you've had a taste of Master Toast On Air, why not check out our live meetings? To find out more, check out our Toastmasters Wairarapa Facebook page.